Go to 2 Samuel chapter number 11. 2 Samuel chapter number 11. All right, the Pew Bible page number is there at the top, 363. That'll take you to 2 Samuel 11. How many of you have ever tripped while walking down steps? I grew up in Missouri. And as you know, in the Midwest and up in the North and so forth, it's very common. You got several levels to the house. It's just the way they build them. And my particular home was a tri-level home. And you had a basement with a bunch of steps that led down to the basement. And then you had some steps that went up to the upstairs. And then you had the main floor. And as a child, I remember so many times tumbling down those stairs. As a kid, I would get in a hurry. You know, I'd want to get there fast, and I would get there faster than I wanted to get there because I would go tumbling down those steps, you know. And my mom got used to the sound after a while, you know. But, the other day, Denise and I were walking hand in hand across a parking lot or whatever it was, I forget, and we were walking hand in hand, and all of a sudden, I just went, boop, boop, boop. She about pulled her down with me. And she's like, "What's wrong?" I said, "I didn't see that step." Say, "Pastor Dan, you're just clumsy is what you are." That's probably about right. But here in our text, King David took a terrible fall. Not a physical fall, but a spiritual fall. He committed adultery with another man's wife. Look with me at verse 2. It says, "And it came to pass in an evening tide that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon. And David sent and inquired after the woman. And one said, 'Is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite?' And David sent messengers and took her, and she came in unto him, and he lay with her, for she was purified from her uncleanness, and she returned into her house. And the woman conceived and sent and told David and said, 'I am with child.'" Sometimes you hear people say, "Well, I just can't understand the Bible." Did y'all understand that okay? Yeah, we got that, didn't we? The Bible's not hard to understand. Okay, there are parts that may be more difficult than others, but the Bible really is not a difficult book to understand. That's why you need to read it. I don't believe that, let me just say this, I don't believe that David premeditated this sin. A lot of people say, "Well, how could a man with such a heart for God," and he did, "fall into such gross immoral sin?" And by the way, the sin gets deeper and deeper as the chapter goes on. We'll look at that more in a few weeks, but it just keeps getting deeper and deeper. And, I just want to say this, that a Christian is capable of doing anything a lost person that doesn't know Christ is capable of doing. Just remember that, okay? If we walk after the flesh and we walk according to the old, and that's why you need to be here on Wednesday night, learn about what God's done for you in Christ. We're learning about that on Wednesday night. Wednesday night we had a very important lesson on putting on Christ, putting on the new man, and what that entails. But when you don't put on the new man and you walk according to the old man that you were before you knew Christ, you're capable of all kinds of sin and debauchery and filth and wickedness. I just want to say this. I don't believe that David premeditated this sin in the sense that he woke up that morning and said when he woke up, "I think I'll commit adultery today." Okay, I don't believe that he did that. But on the other hand, I do believe there were some definite steps that led to his downfall. In your handout, it says that choice, not chance, determines human destiny. Choice, not chance, determines human destiny. David made some definite choices. Hey, this thing didn't just happen. There was a path of progression that led to David's demise. And by the way, he paid a tremendous price for his sin. I want to examine this morning the steps that led to David's fall so that we can recognize the steps and stay off the path of sin and destruction. But then there may be some that are actually on the steps and you need to get off of them. The first step that I see here, number one in your handout, is the step of enticement. We're going to talk about that for a minute. Enticement. If you look at verse 2 again, go back up to verse 2. Notice it says, "And it came to pass in an evening tide that David arose from off his bed, walked upon the roof of the king's house, and from the roof he saw a woman washing herself. And the woman was very beautiful to look upon." Now, had that verse read that David was walking on the roof of his house, he saw a woman washing herself, and like a noble, godly man, he turned and looked the other way. Had the verse said that, you wouldn't have had the following 25 verses. Wouldn't have been an issue. You say, well, you can't expect a man to do that. Joseph did. Joseph did. You know, yeah, a man can do that. A man can be noble. A man can be a gentleman. A man can look the other way. You know, the first step that led to David's downfall is that he allowed himself to be enticed. If somebody, illustration, somebody flirt with you at work of the opposite sex, if you become a willing participant in that, what are you doing? You're allowing yourself to be enticed. James is speaking of being, James talks about, well, it's in your handout there, just look at it. James 1:14. "But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and" what? "Enticed." Now, you know, temptation comes when we allow ourselves to be enticed. You don't have to be enticed. The word entice means to entrap. It's a hunting term. Carries the idea of a hunter or a fisherman using bait to lure in their prey. You want to catch the fish's attention. That's what, I guess, right? I'm not a fisherman. But you want to catch the fish's attention. You want to catch his attention. You want to get him interested in the bait. Let me give you an illustration that maybe ladies can more readily associate with. When you go into the mall, and let's say you go in Dillard's, and you go in the ladies' entrance. When you walk into the mall, ladies, in Dillard's, do they have all their dresses wadded up and thrown on tables? No. When you walk in the door, the dresses are not wadded up and thrown on tables, and just heaps of dresses on tables, and then you got to kind of rummage through them. No. When you go in, what do you see? Right there on the aisle, plain, visible, they've got dresses either on hangers or on mannequins so that you can see the full dress. Why? Why do they do it that way? I mean, they could probably get more dresses in there if they wadded them up and threw them on tables. So why do they do that? Because they want to what? You're getting it. They want to entice you. They want to entice you. They want you to be enticed. Now, me, I'm not enticed by that. Because if you say, we're glad, Pastor Dan. If I, you know, but just an illustration, just to show you the difference. If I walk into the mall, I don't know about you guys, but I know exactly what store. If I'm going through there, it's just because it's a shortcut. And I'm walking through the store. I know what store I'm going to go to, whether it's Radio Shack or whatever it is. And I'm going to that store. I'm going to the shelf. I'm finding what I'm going in there for. I'm grabbing it. I'm paying for it. And then I'm going to cut back through Dillard's, get to my car. And I want to do it in record time. How about you? Now, I'm not going to be enticed by that. But you know what they're banking on? They're banking on the fact that the way they have the dresses hung up and the way they're all pressed, neatly pressed and ironed, that you are going to go over and you're going to think, that's a beautiful dress, and you're going to get it and you're going to look at it, you're going to feel the material, and you're going to become enticed. The devil is quite a hunter. And in your handout, it says that the devil sets the bait and tries to catch our eye. And he tries to get us enticed with evil. That's what he did with David, and it worked. When they wanted to find out how Samson had such great strength, of course we know it was by virtue of his hair, the Bible says they sent a woman to entice Samson, to entice him, to find out. How do we get enticed? What are the sources of enticement? Well, I think, you know, how are you enticed with evil? I think one way is Satan. Definitely Satan can entice us. I think another way is other people. The wrong kind of people can entice you with evil. That's why the Bible says this. We'll bring it up, Proverbs 1:10. Can we go to that? Proverbs chapter 1, verse 10 says, "My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not." Can our own flesh lead us to enticement? Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah, let's bring up that verse, Colossians 2 and verse number 4. Paul said, "This I say, lest any what? Man should beguile you with what? Enticing words." Satan uses enticing words to beguile us. He wants to get your curiosity up. He wants to get you interested, you know, like that dress. He wants you to check it out. He wants you to think about it, mull it over. This was David's first step. He allowed himself to be what? Enticed. When he saw the woman, he should have immediately bounced his eyes in another direction. He should have immediately removed himself out of that situation, gotten off the roof of his house, and he would have never fallen into the first step of enticement. If, you know, something crosses your eyes that shouldn't, maybe you're on the computer. And I know there are times when something may come across, an advertisement, something. You're on an innocent website, but an advertisement comes up, whatever it may be. You know what? You, at that point, you can either immediately X out of that, immediately, you know, move your eyes from that, or you can allow yourself to be enticed. The first step down that downward progression that David was on and that leads to destruction is number one, what? Say it louder. What? Enticement. Maybe that's where you're at. You're just kind of flirting around with it. You're just kind of thinking about it. You're just curious. You're curious about it. Maybe that's where you're at. Enticement. Better get off. Because the next step in your handout is lust. The next step is lust. Write that in and then look at verse number 2. It says there, look at the end of the verse. It says, "From the roof he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful too." And what's the last two words? So now he doesn't just see her, he what? He looks upon her. He is checking her out. David's enticement led, look up here. First step is what? Enticement. And then that enticement led to what?
Lust.
The next step, lust. He not only saw the woman, he allows his eyes to dwell on her, lusting after her beauty. That's clear from the text. James tells us that every man is drawn away and enticed, and then when lust hath conceived, it brings forth sin. What does it mean here? Lust. Lust and, you know, enticement and lust kind of go together. They go hand in hand, but lust is one step further than enticement. Now, you see, I'm enticed, but now I'm beyond the realm. When I get to lust, I'm beyond the realm of just curious. I'm beyond the realm of just thinking or checking it out, interested. Now I'm lusting. What does that mean? In your handout, it says to lust for something means you desire and you long for something. In the Bible, the word lust is almost always associated with the flesh. It says that there. I think that's in your handout. In the Bible, the word says there. In the Bible, the word is almost always associated with the flesh. Lusting after something that's forbidden. For example, look in your handout. Galatians 5:16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the what? Flesh. Look up here on the screen. 1 Corinthians 10:6. It says, now these things were our examples, Paul said, talking about Old Testament stories, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Look, I think I got another one. Let's bring up the next one. Titus 2:12, teaching us that denying ungodliness, and notice what kind of lust? Worldly lust. See how lust is usually associated with longing for something forbidden? One more. Titus 3:3. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. To go back to the fishing illustration, what happens? Bring up a picture here. The fish is enticed by the bait. Would you agree with me that fish is longing for that right there? He's done past enticement, isn't he? He's ready to go after it. The fish, first you got to catch his eye. You're enticed. Then the fish begins to desire it. Maybe he's hungry. If he's not hungry, maybe he just goes right on by it. He sees it, but just keeps on going. But he's enticed. He lusts. Back to the dress illustration. You go into the store, you're enticed. You go over, you check it out, feel the material, hold it up, look at it, front and back. And then you do what my wife does. You look at the price tag. If the price, you know you do not have the money. The store is banking on the fact that you're going to lust, you're going to long for it, you're going to desire it so much that you get out the plastic and buy it anyway. They want you to lust after. They want you to desire it. You say, Pastor Dan, what's the harm in a man lusting after a pretty woman? I mean, isn't that normal? We're made that way. Hey, guys, tell me that. What's wrong with that? We're made that way. Well, you know, the problem here is the object of your lust. The object of your desire and the object of your longing. Man comes up to me and says, Pastor Dan, I got a serious lust problem. I got a serious lust problem for a woman in this church. I'm always desiring her. I'm always admiring her. I'm always longing for her. And I say to that man, well, who in the world is it? He looks at me, it says, my wife! Glory, hallelujah! Glory! That's the way it ought to be, amen? Amen. And he looks at me and says, gotcha. I got y'all, didn't I? You see, desires aren't wrong. God did build us with some desires. The question is, what do you desire? What do you desire? Bring up a picture here. Lust is like a fire. In a fireplace, a fire is a very warm, it's a very beautiful thing in a fireplace. And desire, for example, that sexual desire, that's a beautiful thing in the confines of marriage and with your spouse. That's a wonderful thing. It's an important thing. But when the fire gets outside of that hearth, what happens? Go to the next picture there. Yeah. That's what happens when lust gets out of control. That is lust that's not controlled. Then it becomes uncontrollable. It becomes destructive. And that's why in your handout, 2 Timothy 2:22, Paul told young Timothy, flee also youthful lusts. By the way, old men can have youthful lusts. No, I mean that. Youthful lust. Youthful is an adjective describing the lust, but it doesn't necessarily describe the person. The guy could be 60 and still be given over to youthful lust. So, you know, he says you need to flee youthful lust. Or that's what happens. Sure, it's normal for our flesh to desire a woman that's not our wife. But that doesn't make it right. Your flesh wants to lust after all kinds of wrong things. If you look up at the screen here, Ephesians 4:22, Paul said, put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the what kind of lust? Yeah, sure you're going to desire things that aren't right, but they're deceitful lusts. They're deceitful. Jesus said this in Matthew 5:28. He said, but I say unto you, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her, Jesus said, that's okay. You're made that way. Is that what it says? No. He says, you look on a woman to lust after her, you have committed adultery already in his heart. You think God sees that, yes or no? Absolutely. Is it normal for your flesh to lust after the wrong things? Absolutely. But in your handout, it says the Christian is commanded to abstain from fleshly lusts. You're commanded to abstain from those things. Why? Because God wants to ruin your fun? Hey, does God want to ruin your fun? No. He wants to protect you. His commands are not grievous. They're for your good. Says there, look in your handout, 1 Peter 2:11. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, notice which war against the soul. Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's the command. David allowed himself to get caught up in lust. Look up here. What was the first step? The steps that lead to a fall. He allowed himself to be enticed. He became a willing participant in the enticement. Number two, what? His enticement turned into lust. Number three, the last point is this. Number three, the third step that leads to a fall is drawing close to that which tempts you. Drawing close to that which tempts you. Go back to your Bible to verse number three. Let's see what happens next. He sees her. He's enticed. He looks on her. Notices she's beautiful. Now he's lusting. So verse 3, David sent and inquired after the woman. And then he finds out she's another man's wife. But verse 4 says, and David sent messengers and took her, and she came in unto him. So in other words, he brought her into the palace. And then, of course, comes that sin. He takes this woman, sends messengers, and says, I want you to go get that woman and bring her to me. Uh-oh. Uh-oh. We have gone beyond enticement. We have gone beyond lust. Now he's going to draw close to that which tempts him. He's going to bring her into the palace. We've got trouble in River City now, right? Some of you older folks get that. All right. You see, maybe at this point, David thought, I'm not going to sin. I would never do that. That's another man's wife. Maybe he thought, I'm just going to talk to this woman. I'm just going to get to know her. I'm lonely. There's no harm in talking to a woman. I can handle this. And maybe he still even thought at this point that he wasn't going to sin. But this is where David made his mistake. He's playing with fire. We have to stay away from that which tempts us. If the fish doesn't want to get a hook in its mouth, then what should it do? Stay away from the bait. Somebody say stay out of the frying pan. Stay away from the bait. Hey, if somebody came up to you, if you needed somebody to drive your car, say to South Florida, and you need somebody to drive your car, and so you're interviewing people to see who you're going to hire to drive your car. You're going to hire somebody. You're serious about it. You got a very expensive car. You need somebody to drive it, and you need them to be a very capable driver. So you're interviewing people, and you say to them, how close can you get to that wall over there and not hit it with my car? And then the first guy says, I can get within a foot of that wall and not scrape your car. Another guy says, I can get within 6 inches of that wall and not scratch your car. Another guy says, I can get within 3 inches of that wall and not scratch your car. And then you interview a fourth person, and the fourth person says to you, I don't know how close I can come to the wall without damaging your car, but you know what? I wouldn't even try that. I'd stay as far away from the wall as I possibly could. Who are you going to hire? Are you guys getting the illustration? For example, sexual temptation. Best idea for that is you keep a wide margin of safety. You set up some boundaries in your life. You set up some accountability in your life. You don't try to get as close to it as you can and not sin. You stay as far away from it as you can. If you know there's a piece of dynamite in you waiting to be ignited, stay away from that which will set it on fire. In your handout, Romans 13, 14, remember this? We covered this this passage when speaking of this text. It puts you on the Lord Jesus Christ. And look what it says. Make not provision for your what? Flesh, to fulfill the lust thereof. Make provision. Don't give it any opportunity. David did that. You know what happened? He fell into great sin. Hey, what was the first step? Enticement. What was the next one? Lust. And then he drew close. He drew close to it. These were the steps that led to his downfall. And he fell into sin. Look at the screen. Genesis 3:6. What happened to Eve in the Garden of Eden? God said, Do not eat of this tree. You can eat of any other tree. Don't eat of this tree. What should she have done? She should have stayed as far away as she could from that tree. Instead, notice it says the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise. She took of the fruit thereof and did eat. Same thing happened to a man named Achan. Achan was in the army of Israel, and when they took the city of Amalek, God said, don't take any of their stuff, burn it all with fire. You're not allowed to take any of the loot. Look at the verse. Notice the progression. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonish garment, 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I what? There's lust. I saw him. He was enticed. He allowed himself to be enticed. He covets. He lusts. And then he what? Took them. And behold, he said, they're hid in the earth in the midst of my tent. What came after the sin in all three of those cases? David, Eve, and Achan. In your handout, write this word in. The result was death. D-E-A-T-H, death. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. The wages of sin is death. Now you understand, that death took place here in a little different way in each case. David, the baby, that Bathsheba was pregnant with died as a judgment for his sin. The baby died. He lost his baby. With Eve, she died spiritually. She was separated from the presence of God and died. Her spirit, spiritually, she died. Achan, he actually physically died himself because of his sin. Are you on the steps that lead to a downfall? You need to get off of them. You know, there's an old song that I used to know. And you know how the chorus went? It's a good song. It said, sin will take you farther than you want to go, slowly but wholly taking control. Sin will leave you longer than you want to stay, and sin will cost you far more than you want to pay. There's a lot of truth in that song. First step was what? Enticement. Next step? Lust. Next step, he drew close. He drew close to that which tempted him. Are you on any of those steps? In your handout, it says, get off them because it's not worth the price you have to pay in the end. It's not worth the price. Let's go to the Lord in prayer.